Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Perloff, sometimes, I know it's hard to believe, we overreact to week one of the NFL season.
Yeah.
Does happen. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. And sometimes we're proven right as the outsiders, as the media, and sometimes we're proven wrong. Can I tell you the one overreaction that I think is so off?
Okay.
More than any other thing that we saw in week one of the NFL.
And yeah, I'm dying to know this.
It's
okay.
The Chiefs' demise. I understand the Super Bowl looked pretty bad against your Philadelphia Eagles, right? It was bad. Then we had a big break, the off season, and then they have to start the season in Brazil, and they lost to the Chargers, a Chargers team that was treating that like the Super Bowl, okay? I think that the Chiefs, for people who are, you know, really overreacting, getting nervous, you know, looking at the Xavier Worthy injury, looking at the offense, Rashee Rice's suspension, and thinking that Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes are not going to be able to adjust or adapt, I feel like you haven't been paying attention for the last decade. You know, this was a unique game. I try not to put too much weight into any of the overseas games. I don't bet on any of the overseas games. I think all of them are weird and their own entity. I don't think you can take anything from that and apply it to this whole season.
But I get what you're saying. I mean, last year's overseas game in Brazil seemed to mean a lot. I mean, Saquon Barkley, it's the first time we saw him go off as an Eagles running back, and it led to a Super Bowl. Here's my question. Do you think the Chiefs win this division? Like, are you sure that it's going to be anything like last year where it was 15-1 going into week 18 and they sat their starters?
You know, I'm not sure, and it's about time that the rest of the division really tried to start to catch up with them. They were never going to enjoy this kind of unfettered, like, red carpet to winning the AFC West for years and years and years. It's been going on, like, for almost close to a decade. At some point, everyone's going to catch up. But do I think that means that they're not a viable Super Bowl contender? I've watched them go on the road. I've watched them win in Buffalo and in Baltimore in really tough places to play. And I guess I can look at the roster and say, yeah, they've got some injuries and they've got some issues. But this is so early in the year to think that this is it and they're going to what? Like wave the white flag because Xavier Worthy has a, you know, dislocated shoulder? That doesn't compute to me.
Well, I mean, listen, of course they're a Super Bowl contender, but I don't think they're going to go in with the same kind of steam as they did last year. They look at their schedule. They're underdogs this week against Philly.
At home, which is weird.
At home, the second time Mahomes has ever been a home underdog. Then a reprieve at the Giants. Then Baltimore in week four. They go to Buffalo in week nine. So they're going to enter their bye with potentially three losses. So that is, it's a different formula altogether. Yeah, do I want to see them in playoffs? Heck no.
No way.
But they are not. It's not going to be like previous years. And you see it on the field. Like Xavier Worthy, I guess, will be playing with some kind of harness. He is so important. You saw the drop off last year. Kelce has not been good. This is two games in a row that he has really been non-productive. And then Rashee Rice will be missing six games. Like there's a lot of things wrong on this team. And the run game, it does not look inconsistent. So I think they could easily enter this as a wild. They're not getting that bye in the AFC, that's for sure. So they, again, it's going to be the big three. It's going to be Baltimore, Buffalo, and Kansas City in the playoffs. I don't know. I just don't feel as secure about it as I did last year.
I'm the luckiest man in the world.
Let's hear from Travis Kelce explaining the Worthy injury and taking blame for colliding with his own teammate.
I'm supposed to be running my route at depth for Worthy, so it's frustrating for me. I was trying to kind of set up my guy to be able to get in a position to, and it all just happened pretty quick. And I just got to be better, man. I'm 13 years in the league. There's no excuse for me running into my own guys like that and being able to play fast and help him out. Worthy had his guy beat and we're out the gate and that game starts completely different.
Right. And you know, this might be the wake up call for Travis Kelce that like, at this point in your career, you can't improvise maybe the way that you did in the past. You know, you always look like that backyard football where he and Mahomes are like, you know, communicating telepathically. well, that you might just have to run the routes now, right? You might have to be a lot more precise on what you're doing and executing Andy Reid's offense. And I would say ditto for Chris Jones on the defensive side. Chris Jones is younger, but even still, he improvised on that third and 11 with Justin Herbert, and Herbert ends up seeing the lane, the hole, scampering for what was an 18-yard gain, and the game was over. So maybe it's a wake-up call for the Chiefs on both sides of the ball. Like, listen, it's got to be a lot more discipline. And if I'm going to trust that Andy Reid can go back to the drawing board with whether it's Kelce or whether it's Hollywood Brown or whether it's Isaiah Pacheco or the whoever he has left, I'm going to just go by the decades of evidence that I have, along with a healthy Patrick Mahomes, that they're going to have maybe even something up their sleeve for Philadelphia.
Yeah. If you take away Kelce's magical improvisation, you're hurting the offense in a major way. I mean, that's his superpower. But that being said, I agree with you. I don't think he has much left. I think we'll see him probably in the wild card game going for 110 yards. But until then, it's going to be like late career Gronk, where only when you need him. You know, it's interesting. I think they're going to win this game. They're unbeatable in home openers. Andy Reid's had a couple extra days because of Friday, and you know how he is with extra time to game plan. I thought the Eagles were sputtering against Dallas. Hmm. But if the Chiefs go 0-2, then I think your take about don't worry about the early season is going to really be put to the test. I mean, that is scary times in KC. 0-2 with Baltimore and Buffalo looming on your schedule. And yeah, I mean, listen, the Dallas Cowboys in 93 started 0-2 because Emmitt held out. It just does not look great. I love your thinking.
Yeah.
I totally agree. We totally overreact.
Ravens started 0-2 last year. Made it all the way to the divisional round. I mean, like, they were, you know, one Mark Andrews catching a 2-point conversion away from tying the game up.
But they, again, like, they started their season. The Ravens lost, they lost week one to KC. I guess that's similar. But I see this Chiefs team having major, major issues. If Xavier Worthy is not Xavier Worthy, then how hard is it to defend this team? I mean, really, like, who are you focused on? Like, I mean, who scares you? Who scares you on that offense?
Yeah, but if they can get the run game going, which would be a little harder if Jalen Carter doesn't spit on somebody and is back in the lineup, which I assume he is going to be. It's like they found ways to get Isaiah Pacheco, who's now healthy. For some reason, they were not running the ball in Brazil. I don't know if that's a credit more to the Chargers defense.
They tried a bit.
Did they? I don't know if they
really
committed
to that. I
feel
like I saw a lot of Pacheco in the first half.
So I was listening to I think it was the Locked On Kansas City podcast. I didn't realize this about the Kansas City Chiefs because it sounds a little like BS, but if they're saying this is true, then maybe I could believe it, that the Chiefs really did not know about the Rashi Rice suspension until it came down. Like, they had no heads up, no prior heads up. And so they thought he was going to be suspended maybe later in the year.
Right. The hearing was September 30th, right?
Right. We all thought this was going to happen. So for that specific opening game, they were creating a lot of their offensive game plan about not only Rice, but also Xavier Worthy. So then they get the late word that Rice is out, and then Xavier Worthy gets hurt early in the game, and it just really kind of blew everything apart for them.
Yeah.
And you're trying to adjust on the fly with a Chargers team that is very good, and a coach in Jim Harbaugh that's really good. So I think it just didn't work. Against your Eagles, you're right. They had a little more time to prepare. At least they know what they have. You know, to steal from Parcells, they can cook the meal now because they think they have an idea of what groceries they have. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, I love your energy. Love your enthusiasm. I want to see if the Eagles win this game. I want to see if you can keep it up. Like, when will you panic?
Well,
what
if they lose to the Giants?
Okay, let's just paint this scenario. Somehow, I mean, the Eagles are favored, which I think is crazy because Mahomes as an underdog is incredibly effective.
Is this off the Super Bowl though? I mean,
well, yeah, and I think that the Chiefs offense looked sputtered for basically three quarters. So if they lose this game, then they got Baltimore, who's just going to be a house on fire for that game. Then you're looking at possibly 1-3. I do think Baltimore should be able to beat them right now with no Rashee Rice. Like, the firepower in Baltimore and Derrick Henry should win that game, even though it is in KC. And then they're not going to Buffalo and winning. They never win that regular season game.
And it never matters.
There's a lot of L's.
Because they always beat Buffalo in the playoffs.
There are a lot of L's on this schedule right now. They get, you know, they have to go to Denver. The stretch is pretty easy, but I don't know. I feel like we could be looking at a wild card here, which, again, I'm not counting. I don't want to play them in the playoffs, but I think it's more likely. This is a team that almost went undefeated last year, and now we're talking about wild card. I do think it is a significant downgrade. I'm with you, though. I'm not totally panicking.
if you're asking me if this is a big game for the Chiefs, I'm going to say no. Again, like, yeah, you got smoked in the Super Bowl, but that happened. It's gone. It's over. You know, like, if you lose again to Philadelphia, who may still have one of the best rosters in the NFL, I don't think that it causes me to panic if I'm Kansas City. Because here's the other thing. It's kind of like when you get used to playing in these big games, and especially Super Bowls. Tom Brady always was like, the game's so much longer than you think, halftime so much longer. Like, he just had all this institutional knowledge because he had played so deep in all these seasons. The Chiefs have that, I think.
Yeah, but they never lose this game. They are, if they lose their home opener with all that energy at Arrowhead, that says something.
They lost to the Lions. Remember, that was a couple of years ago. They didn't have Travis Kelce. They didn't have Chris Jones. Lions went in there, beat them in the opener. They're
but that
right
was
back
a Thursday
where they
night.
Started.
All right, fair point.
It's fine.
But, all right, we'll see.
Yeah. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. It's going to take a lot more than this to make me panic about the Chiefs, is what I'm saying.
It feels like the AFC is clearly running through Buffalo.
I've seen a lot of people say that.
The odds say that.
Yeah, well, now because they pulled out what? They had to do a historic comeback against the Baltimore Ravens, and now all of a sudden they're this overwhelming favorite.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
that's not how the game was going,
gifted home
guys.
Field. They're gifted home field because their division has the worst ownership groups on planet Earth. So I don't know, like, how are they not going? You're telling me this team is not ready to win an AFC title game in Buffalo. It's got to happen eventually. So I think that everyone's looking at two things. They're looking at the Lamar-Henry combination, yeah, and they're looking at Buffalo's, you know, 15-2 record and saying, okay, at some point this has got to break through. I think that's the general idea out there.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the hope if you're a Bills fan, no doubt. But here's the thing. Didn't everyone say this, or a lot? I think it was you who said it, Pearl, after the big comeback in the opener on Sunday night where the Bills win 41-40 and they erase a 15-point deficit with 4 minutes left to go. What's the one thing you said? You're like, man, if these two teams meet in the playoffs, Baltimore is going to be so revved up and ready to go. So,
yeah, but then again, if it's cold, what's Lamar Jackson's kryptonite?
Well, maybe he learns from that. You know?
I mean, the stats say he's much, much worse in cold weather, which is ridiculous.
He's got to get that scuba suit on or whatever Brady was wearing under there.
I just think, yeah, and also, too, like, Derek, I mean, what's up with Derek Henry fumbling the ball? Like, is he ever going to get over the hump?
No, but that's the thing. Like, that never happens. Like, So it was such a gift that they gave to Buffalo in that moment. No one was expecting Derrick Henry to fumble. You can't go into like a playoff game and think, aha, Derrick Henry will be the weak link. He had just been torching you for 3.5 quarters on the ground.
But Derrick Henry's never been to
three touchdowns in that game.
He's never been to a Super Bowl. And you wonder, like, will he be ready for the moment? I'm just saying, Buffalo is a strong, pretty strong, what is it, +5-1 now, and Baltimore 6-1. I think most people nationally think it goes through Buffalo.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. How much is on this game? EJ, you look like you want to say something about this.
I mean, I think the Chiefs, psychologically, if they find a way to get beat up again by the Eagles, the conversation about the Chiefs cooked, I think, is a real thing. I think they have to win this game. The Eagles, I don't think it means almost anything to them. They already slayed the dragon. They beat the Chiefs in the Super Bowl and beat them up bad. I think for the Chiefs, where you already lost your star receiver to suspension, your other star receiver's hurt, and Travis Kelce's taking the blame for it, I think this is a really weird kind of wary moment for the Chiefs early in the season. Like, they're the kind of team that could always rebound, but their goal is Super Bowl. So to me, starting 0-2, very rare team that starts 0-2 looks Super Bowl worthy. And again, we think about this game. I'm still not off of the Chargers game. I thought they got dominated. I don't know what the score said, but that team, like, I've never seen a Chargers team look so in control of a game that they weren't supposed to win, considering we're so used to chargering. But that's how it felt. It felt like when the Chiefs were coming back, it was like the Chargers are still going to find a way to win this, because the Chiefs really aren't. They didn't look the same.
Yeah, but I would say
slow starts have been a thing. That's
I think
sure.
that Worthy injury in the first.
Definitely.
I think their whole
threw
game plan was around Xavier
sure.
Worthy.
Yeah,
because then you saw Hollywood Brown get every target.
Yeah.
Those are all supposed to go to Worthy, who's a much better player. So that, I think that was part of it.
Sure,
but the most recent odds are Bills 5-1, Ravens 6-1, and the Chiefs are 5th in odds at 12-1, which is pretty. You know, it's been falling.
Yeah.
It's just interesting. With you know who moved up ahead of them, the Packers are now like the darling. So yeah, I mean. Maggie, you should make that bet because you're haunted by these Chiefs.
Well, that's part of it. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. I just think, you know, maybe this is also my thing. I do not put a lot into these international games. Weird stuff happens at these games. And Prof, you're saying that Saquon Barkley started off with gangbusters and that's like the reason they won the Super Bowl? I don't know about that.
Well, they're going to be two games behind the lead in the AFC West if they lose this game. Some of it's logistics. Like, I'm not saying they're out of the playoffs, but there's a really good chance they lose the division this year. That's two games back, and they have the hardest schedule in the division, out-of-division schedule. I think, you could say the anomaly was the Broncos looked like garbage in week one. Maybe
their offense,
that fixes itself. And, you know, I've battled you all offseason long. Maybe those Raiders are a little spicier than I thought.
Nine plays of 20 yards or more for the Raiders. They've been a little explosive.
We all knew Geno was a gunslinger. Geno will just throw it all over the darn field. It's amazing. Can they win a lot of games? I don't know.
I saw someone else real quickly say this. I forgot who it was, but the Chiefs really lived on the edge last season. They were going nail-biter games against the Panthers. And in the NFL, typically, you don't go perfect season on one-score games. That doesn't happen. That's basically what the Chiefs did. Every close game they won, to think they're going to do that again.
Yeah. The Broncos' missed field goal was a great example.
They should have lost that game. The Bengals game early in the season when the guy made the stupid pass interference. Like, they've been living on the edge.
I'll speak for Maggie here. None of that matters come postseason with Patrick Mahomes.
Right. To me, the Chiefs season doesn't even start till the AFC Championship game. That's what it is. They're like the Patriots in that way. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. Okay. How big is this game for the Chiefs? To me, not really. Let's talk about tonight's game when we come back. It's Packers. It's the Commanders. This is a spicy one for Thursday. We'll tell you what our big question is for these quarterbacks next.
The Commanders.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Wesley Financial. Stuck in a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at wesleyfinancialgroup.com. We're about to get the updates with Andrew Bogus. Has there been any developments on the Survivor Pool scandal that is rocking the Maggie and Perloff show?
Well, Bogues, what do you have for us?
I do have an update.
You're the newsman around here.
Billy Jacquelone has agreed to join us for week two and make two correct picks to survive the week.
Yeah, Billiam.
Ran through all the other parameters for him specifically in this situation and in general for these survivor pools. So we are good to go as long as apparently someone reminds Billy to make his picks.
Yes, and also, by the way, Billy was so nervous about it. He's like, I don't want to get it wrong. I'm dying to see his picks. Like, I will be following his picks more closely than me because he was really nervous about this bag.
But why? There's no money at stake. There's no prizes. It's just for us. Like, who cares?
It's a big national radio show. I don't know. Billy's like wants to show off his football knowledge here.
Like that matters in a survivor pool.
Well, I think that is part of this because all I know is that Billy likes Nets basketball.
Billy is an NBA dude. That dude is a basketball dude. So I if we're doing basketball picks, he'd be, he'd dive headfirst into this.
He's sweating about Cam Thomas. He still is up there.
And that'd be the one guy on earth.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm dying to see Billy's picks here. But because Maggie sort of included him, but he also said something about the fact that I thought it was just like sort of a symbolic gesture to include me on the email. I didn't think she really wanted me. That was uttered in the newsroom.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. But this is the invite. That was it. There was no second invite. There was no, everyone got the same thing.
Ah, I love getting you worked up. None of that ever happened.
So bad. I'm the only person with a conscience around here.
You know what? You're right. There are no prizes. There are no penalties. I'm still stressed out about it. Like, pride is so important when it comes to these things. Mm. It's kind of everything.
We're sports talk radio hosts. The pride went out the window long ago.
It's not even us. Like, every football fan just wants to be right about stuff, and it's so darn hard.
Billy's in prime position now because if he beats all of us having to now do two picks in a week, he's going to be like, wow, you guys suck.
You have doubly smarter
than you. And it's a hard week.
I know. If he gets through and all of us don't, like, that's going to be embarrassing.
Last week, by the way, NFL put out a stat, was the third closest week of games in since the merger in 1971. Like, every game came down in the last second. There's more parity than ever. So if Billy goes 2-0, then watch out. The kid is a genius.
By the way, Kaplan says he wants in now. He wants back in because we're bending the rules for Billy. No. Kaplan picked the Saints in week one. He's like, why can't I get back in? Because,
why did he pick the Saints?
Because he was trying to make a point.
A point.
Yeah. He was trying to make us look like fools, so he made himself look like a fool, and now he wants in. No,
protest vote.
You're out, bro.
I mean, it was a home game.
Are you defending that pick?
Well, I kind of thought they had him where they wanted.
The wouldn't have picked the Saints.
Drew Brees wouldn't have picked the Saints.
Fair. Bogues, you got headlines for us.
These headlines sponsored by Progressive Commercial Insurance, which protects small businesses with affordable coverage options. Get a quote today at progressivecommercial.com.
Calling all boobs.
We are not done with Adam Silver just yet. That Highlight League comment we played last hour came from his press conference after a Board of Governors meeting here in Manhattan yesterday. At that meeting, those owners decided that long-missed buzzer-beating heaves will only count against team stats, not players who have shied away recently from taking those desperation shots to protect their shooting percentages.
Is this like a scourge that's plaguing the league? I know it happens. Yes. I know it definitely happens. Guys don't want to do half-court heaves because it makes their field goal percentage go down.
Correct.
Mike
Breen, the reason that I played the Mike Breen drop was because Mike Breen, I don't know if he does it on the ESPN broadcast, but very commonly on the local Knicks broadcast, he'll point out whenever an NBA player shoots the half court or the full court heave after the buzzer, and it irritates
him. It annoyed him.
So rejoice, Mike Breen, you got your wish.
Yeah, I've heard other announcers startled when a guy legitimately takes one of those shots. Knowing it's not going to go in, likely. Like, that's how significant the problem is, of people just dribbling out the last few seconds of the second quarter or whatever. Like,
okay, so this is a good change.
I mean, I guess my math brain doesn't like the fact that now when you add up player shot totals, they're not going to equal the team shot total. But that's my problem.
My problem is it speaks to incredible selfishness of these players.
Yes, there is like, that too.
Over the top. Yeah. I mean, that's crazy.
Well, some of these shooting percentages, some of these have incentives tied into them, so that's why people don't want to take these shots.
Right, so their salary goes from $180 million to $177 million.
Right. Hey, it's not your money. $3,500 would do me a lot right now.
But what I don't understand is why don't you just make it a turnover? I don't like that you get, like, there's, like, almost a reward if you make it, but not if you miss. I just say, okay, if you don't take the shot, then you get a... It's almost like a turnover. You didn't even try to make a play for your team.
Well, wasn't there a thing like when...
I thought they don't want to penalize them. That's the whole point.
Well,
right?
No, I'm saying, like, I think the turnover is way less of a penalty than a field goal percentage. Like, the idea that you could lose money off of a turnover is unlikely.
Well, now when the clock is running out, it's no longer a personal player turnover. It becomes a team turnover whenever it's obvious that the time is winding down and, you know, you don't want to take a shot in bad sportsmanship. You know, the shot clock might be a little bit more than the game clock.
Yeah,
and you know,
at the end of the game only.
But it becomes a team turnover is what it is.
Because guys are playing hot potato with the ball.
Exactly, and the NBA didn't like that.
Right. I always wonder why some guys are so bad at that heave. Like, it goes in like the fourth row.
Jared Jack, once a Nick, always a Nick.
Yeah. Sometimes those guys are so far off. I'm like, you're an NBA player. You're only 70 feet away. Like, I couldn't even, like, hit the backboard.
It looks like Carlton from Will.
And then you ever watch the game, you're like, oh, that one might go in. And then it hits, like, the top of the backboard. You're like, oh, I guess not.
I love when the announcer really acts like it's gonna go in. It's not even close. It's like when the great John Sterling would be like, oh, there's a fly ball. It's like, you know, right outside the shortstop, basically.
Yeah, right. It's a pop up.
Yeah.
So maybe a little more significance from Silver yesterday. His comments on Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers and aspiration.
I've been around the league long enough in different permutations of allegations and accusations that I'm a big believer in due process and fairness, and you need to now let the investigation run its course.
The commissioner adding that the burden of proof is absolutely on the league here. He'd be reluctant to act if only an appearance of misbehavior had happened here. Now, there are a couple of new wrinkles to this story about Kawhi's possible no-show $28 million endorsement deal with the bankrupt aspiration. One report out of Canada says that Kawhi and his uncle Dennis, pitched no-show endorsement deals to the Raptors during this same negotiating window, and Toronto was like, absolutely not. And then Pablo Torre, who began all of this, he has a new instance today of aspiration needing money for a Kawhi payment, and then basically the exact amount showing up in their accounts from a Clippers co-owner. So Kawhi
needed, it was $50 million, I think, was the original investment that the Clippers made into this company that was a scam. And then Pablo's now got that they somehow floated an extra like $2 million when a payment was due to Kawhi magically.
There was a $1.75 million payment, whatever, due to Kawhi. And all of a sudden, $1.99 mil came in from a Clippers co-owner. And then like 4 days later, Kawhi got his money.
Well, they said Uncle Dennis was calling. Someone said, why did Kawhi Leonard, when the company's going under, why did Kawhi Leonard continue to get paid? And they said the one person who was talking to Pablo Torre on the record said, well, because Uncle Dennis was calling.
Yes.
Like collecting.
And the Clippers' best defense remains like idiocy. Like this, like that.
They said they got scammed.
That, yeah. Well, but like the, like from the outside perspective, I heard Mark Cuban say this, I think to Pablo, that if the Clippers were really in this, like into knowing exactly what was going on, then Steve Ballmer would have fixed it. He would have kept Aspiration out of bankruptcy.
Yes.
So there was never documents that had anybody's name on it. So the fact that it got to this point leads Mark Cuban to believe that Ballmer didn't know what was going on. Mm. That's not the best defense I want if I'm in this situation.
I mean, what do you call that?
Exhibit A.
Exhibit A, James Harden. You think he's going to lead you to a title? Idiocy is clearly been exhibited.
And Russell Westbrook.
Yeah. Like, I mean, Ballmer, this supposed genius, has built a kind of a bad team. I mean, they could get to the playoffs, but he thinks he's going to buy a title and he keeps making bad decisions. By the way, all this Kawhi stuff, I could defend them if Kawhi was 6 years younger. I can't defend all this for a 34-year-old Kawhi.
Sick arena, though.
What's that?
Sick arena, though.
Arena is cool.
They do have all the bathrooms. Like, that is the one
toilets.
Thing. Like
the wall.
Toilets, urinals. Hooray.
Yeah, they have the all-time record.
1,160 toilets! Toilets!
Yeah.
Urinals!
Yeah, no, I get that, but... Like, Harden has not worked in Houston, Philadelphia, and now he's going to be a Clipper. Like
Brooklyn.
Yeah, Ballmer has no idea. Yeah. We see him on the sideline. The man's a wild man.
Oh. He's like the seventh richest guy in the world, though, and it's just funny to me that there's just seems like so much circumstantial evidence, which the NBA's own collective bargaining agreement says you only need the circumstantial. It's not criminal court. It doesn't have to be a jury of his peers. There's a lot of smoke here, and this is what I worry about. For this, like, is it just going to go away because Steve Ballmer's so rich and so powerful? Like,
go like wait,
what way?
Like,
what? Let me ask you the opposite. Like, what do you mean? Like, what do you expect them to do? Like, take the team away from them?
No. I'm talking about draft picks. Right? Like, isn't that all they can do? Like, draft picks,
and a
fines,
$7 million fine.
Yeah,
apparently.
Which Steve Ballmer blows his nose with $7 million. Like, it's just that is not a significant amount of money.
So you say go away? Like, yeah, it'll probably eventually go away with a fine and maybe a draft pick.
But
like,
just,
when it first started, there were people out there, I saw it on the internet, saying they should strip the team from him.
I don't know about that. That seems insane. But the idea is, like, he's coming out there and defending himself, Steve Ballmer. Yeah. No clue, didn't know anything. I'm the one who got scammed, even though I'm known as, like, one of the greatest investors of my generation. I'm literally one of the richest people in the world. And he's, like, so adamantly defending himself. Do you also not get docked just for being a liar if it turns out he was lying? Like, nothing's going to stick to him here.
But one thing, investor, he was just a middle manager at the right place at the right time.
No, I think that he gets credited, at least this was in Pablo's reporting, that he is also thought of as this wonderkin investor. It's not just that he was in the right place at the right time.
He's like a Warren Buffett type? I thought he was just like third in Microsoft or something.
Apparently there's more to Steve Ballmer than meets the eye.
Gotcha.
Yes, CJ.
And I'm curious in terms of Kawhi, like, does this kind of like whatever legacy he has, and I don't mean that facetiously, just he's a very quiet guy. Like, does this in any way like win that legacy? I mean, this guy is a 2-time NBA champion and a 2-time finals MVP. He's one of the greatest small forwards of all time, but this is bad. Like,
if
I don't know.
If this was Kevin Durant,
oh my God,
the avalanche on him would be unbelievable.
Yeah, it would be unrelenting.
Kawhi just doesn't move the needle like that.
I don't need think another burner account to defend himself.
I don't think it changes his playing legacy at all. Like, he's still going to be considered a great player. Like, I don't think 30 years from now people are going to be like, look at that sort of weird scandal. I mean, he's still going to be right. A Hall of Famer.
I don't think so either. I'm just curious, just because this is like, I don't know. I don't think this is a great look that he's, I mean, now we're extending this to the Raptors, and then there are rumors and reporting that he asked his stuff, or his representative asked a lot of stuff with the Lakers during that free agency the first time that Jeannie Buss basically said kick rocks to.
Ownership, like, right, with the Lakers? He wanted a piece of the team?
No, they wanted a stake also in the Toronto Maple Leafs. I'm like,
I
damn.
See that. Yeah, that's wild.
You know what? I actually think in terms of reputation, I hate to say this, guys, I think it'd be worse for Jalen Brunson.
I agree.
You know, I think Brunson, maybe he, I think people just care a little bit more about him being a certain, having a certain stature, I guess, in New York City.
But I think there's also
Grace. I don't know.
I don't know that it would even kill Brunson. People are like, oh, he took less money to bring more talent in New York, kind of a team first move in a sense.
But you're cheating by doing it, because you're actually getting the money somewhere else.
He isn't.
You're not that altruistic. You're not that unselfish. You're just, you're actually putting your team in a tougher spot, because if you do get found out, the team will get in trouble.
Yeah.
But he designed this whole thing to help the team get more talent there. I think his heart was in the right place.
I think the non-reaction is the correct reaction. Like, it's a bad look. It's embarrassing, but it shouldn't affect your legacy. No. Whoever mentioned Durant, like, that's the thing, is like, we would have the wrong ultra negative response if this involved other people.
Or LeBron.
But LeBron, KD wouldn't, this would be held against them for forever.
Yeah, but aren't those probably the only two players?
That's a good question. Is there anyone else who moves the needle like that?
Nobody would care with Steph.
I don't think Steph is universally hated like the other two.
But I think people will be surprised because Steph presents such a upstanding, good guy thing.
Yeah. So I don't necessarily think it makes Kawhi look even like a bad guy, that bad. Like, I mean, he's worth the money. He should get it.
But it becomes a funny, like, another Uncle Dennis story, like going to another level.
Right, but that's about Uncle Dennis. I don't know. Like, Kawhi's always been used and abused by this guy, right?
And it's always been weird. It's always been awkward and unique, like the fact that the Spurs couldn't figure this out. And, like, there's always something around Kawhi.
I think people hate LeBron and KD. It starts with basketball reasons. They couldn't win a title. LeBron had to join a super team. That's when he got the black hat.
Yeah.
And KD had to become a bus rider. Like, those are not financial reasons. Those are basketball reasons. I think that's really the genesis of the animosity toward them.
Yeah, so, Kawhi did the opposite, right? He went to Toronto, put the team on his back. They won the title.
Similar to what Bogus is saying, though, like, those guys have those basketball reasons why people don't like them. But that would then be twisted to talk about this thing. You'd be like, oh, Michael 100%. Jordan didn't have to tell, you know, Jerry Reinsdorf, give me some money under the table so I can re-sign Horace Grant. You know, like, that conversation is happening.
This should be a badge of honor for Michael Jordan. Be like, look what he's like, did. What a killer.
People say that about Tom Brady with all the whispers about Brady, you know, in all those years.
I actually, like, you could argue it's a positive. If you take a little less money to and then cheat to get it around, like that's a team first move.
I don't think Jalen Brunson.
Yeah, he didn't leave money.
Yeah, Kawhi didn't. He took the max.
I'm saying Jalen Brunson did leave money, so at least he's got a better argument than Kawhi, right? Like, he took less than he had to.
Yes, definitely.
Cowboys corner Deron Bland may miss multiple weeks after hurting his foot in practice Monday. Alabama expects wideout Ryan Williams to play this weekend against Wisconsin after sitting out their last game with a concussion. No change last night in the AL West. The Astros got a 3-2 win in Toronto, maintaining their one game in the Mariners atop the division. Seattle outlasting St. Louis last night, 4-2-13. And let me quickly remind us of how great the internet can still be sometimes, guys. Now, Boise State unveiled a new alternate helmet this week. They call it the Front Porch of Idaho. It has hand-painted images honoring Boise and the state. Now, one of the comments to their Twitter announcement about the helmet came from someone calling themselves, and I'll do a little editing here, Rack of Boobs 69, which I think is their birthday.
want to bet?
Mr. Rack tagged Boise State AD Jeremiah Dickey in his comment, writing, quote, "Can't be the front porch of anything if you are afraid to play the flagship university of the state," referring to the long dormant Boise State Idaho Vandals rivalry. And Rack of Boobs 69 got a response from said AD, who said the Broncos aren't afraid to play the Vandals, but both schools have their schedules locked in for the foreseeable future. But it is a heck of a vision where you see a picture of these beautiful helmets.
Yeah.
First comment, Rack of Boobs 69, and then immediate reaction comment from said AD.
From Mr. Dickey.
Whose last name is Dickey.
Love it. Love
there
every
0% chance that guy read the person's
no
handle.
Chance. No, no chance.
His avatar is also Pam Anderson's rack of, so it's, I mean, he's
I was gonna say it's either her or Sydney Sweeney.
Yeah.
Man of the people?
Boobs.
The AD responding to
no, I just think
every Tom, Dick, and Harry on Twitter.
Not man of the nice. Internet, not seeing what he was responding to.
Boobs. I'm really concerned. Really concerned now.
About who? About who?
The future of the football program?
No, concerned about Miami.
Huh?
Anybody that looks fine South Florida on their schedule, they're never the same afterwards. Boise's now responding to man of boobs. Florida has your players spitting on guys, and Billy Napier is fighting for his life.
Now your Hurricanes play the USF Bulls.
Yeah, now USF's come into Hard Rock, and I'm like, I don't know.
It's like, what, some kind of witch's curse?
I'm curious, right?
Like, it's a weird hangover.
Like, it's like the Wyatt, you know, Bray Wyatt, the wrestler, and anybody who wrestled him, they were different characters, basically, afterwards. I feel like Miami's going to be changed in some way that I'm not going to like.
Carson Beck already likes boobs. We know this from the Snapchat.
Damn,
and I wish I didn't know that.
He might be rack of boobs.
It might have been him tweeting. Yeah. Like, if you don't want to play Idaho instead of South Florida, maybe they wouldn't come in with so much confidence.
Damn, these are cool helmets.
They
but
are.
But I don't understand I'm sorry.
Kind of blue marbly with a picture of the state
where's
capitol
the front
building.
Porch? I thought it'd be a picture of two people sitting on a front porch.
Oh, like the Cracker Barrel logo?
Yeah, so front porch is
I don't think the name is literal.
I don't get it.
Rack of boobs might be.
That's so funny. I thought about Cracker Barrel. So is the front porch what they call the capitol or something?
I don't know how to answer that.
That's what I assumed, that the capitol is supposed to be the front porch. Mm.
This is an important fact, Bogus. You should have this.
Focus on the rack of boobs.
Like always. She's got the pineapples on the tatas. Whatever. Carol G is cool.
Dios la bendiga.
Sí.
All right, Bogus. Well, thank you for that very important news.
My pleasure. Journalism.
Couldn't have done it without you. Coming up, Thursday night football. Jaden Daniels, Jordan Love. Got a question for you about this quarterback matchup next.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly what people outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Thursday night football tonight. You got a good one at Lambeau. Washington Commanders coming in to face Jordan Love, Micah Parsons, and the Packers, Pearl. Got to be a lot of pressure on Jordan Love now, even more than before, because this Micah Parsons trade, even in somewhat limited action, you saw how ferocious the defense is. Now the offense really has to keep up their end of the bargain. They've had trouble like finding the right receivers and who's going to be the guy and dealing with injuries, but they should have enough now to keep pace.
Yeah, no, the Packers, what's your point exactly?
My point is that Jordan Love now has more pressure on him after the Micah Parsons trade. Morning, sir.
Yeah. No, I'm looking up Jordan Love's stats because I know we're about to debate MVP odds, Jordan Love. I have Jordan Love as my fantasy quarterback, so I watch every snap in this game.
Okay.
Here's the thing. Green Bay does not really want Jordan Love to carry them to a title. They want to be a defense run team now. They have Micah Parsons, so I disagree with that premise that it's on Jordan Love. I think that their formula is going to be much more conservative. Like, I don't think they want to sling it like Aaron Rodgers style all over the yard.
Then why do they draft Matthew Golden with a first-round pick when they've never drafted wide receivers ever in the first round?
Well, they needed some. It's a good question, but they obviously needed some speed on the outside. Like, their receivers have been so erratic over the last couple of years, turned out to probably be a great choice. Didn't do much in week one. But you saw they really want to run Josh Jacobs a lot. They really want to dominate the game with defense. I do not think this is going to be a massive Jordan Love season. And I don't even think there's pressure on him. I don't think he has to be MVP Aaron Rodgers to take this team where it wants to go.
See, I thought a lot of everyone wants to run the ball, especially when you have a team in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Like, you have to have a good ground game. That just makes a lot of sense. And you're playing games in Chicago and the bad weather. But they also just got out to a 14-0 lead pretty fast last week. So, like, of course you're going to be running the ball.
I think they might get out to that lead a lot. Like, I think they're really, really good. I just think that something about LaFleur is really skews conservative. And Jordan Love is really good. Don't get me wrong. He's talented enough to throw 40 touchdowns in a season. I just don't ever see him doing that. So 2 years ago, in 17 games, he had 32 touchdowns, his first real season as starter. Then last year, he got hurt. Remember, hurt his knee. Came down to 25 touchdowns, 11 picks. I just see him being a little like, how many touchdowns do you need to be MVP as quarterback? You really need a lot. Where, for example, Jaden Daniels has a lane where he could be like Lamar Jackson, where he has a combo of the rushing and the passing. So that's why it's funny. I looked at the odds. They're both equal in MVP odds. Jaden Daniels is just a little bit ahead. But I'm not sure that Jordan Love profiles like a typical NFL MVP as of right now. Just the way they run that offense.
That's another question off of tonight's game. You know, you're looking at these two young quarterbacks. So, you know, Mahomes has won his MVPs. Lamar has. Now Josh Allen has. Still waiting on Joe Burrow to win an MVP, even though he's been to the Super Bowl. But I'm not sure if the Bengals are going to win enough games for him to even get in the conversation. Yep. Here come Jordan Love and Jaden Daniels, two young quarterbacks whose teams are going to win a lot of games, we think. Now, I've faded the Commanders a little bit, and I feel a little silly about that now. But, you know, you have...
They didn't look perfect in week one. Yeah. I wouldn't feel silly about that at all.
Well, but to your point, like, you basically have to win, like, minimum, what, 12 games to even be considered for an MVP?
Well, Adrian Peterson snuck into the wild card and won it with the Vikings, and that was a long time ago.
It was a long time ago, and they basically don't even give this award to running backs anymore.
I know.
What did we say? Matt Ryan, I think we looked this up. He got it with 11 wins when he won his MVP.
The Super Bowl year?
Yeah.
But they were great that year.
So, you know, you kind of have to have a team, first of all, that's going to win a lot of games. It's got to be pretty gaudy of a record. And then, on top of it, you know, if Jordan Love is going to get all this help from his defense, like, I don't even think the MVP voters even really care or look at that, right? They just will look at all the chances, all the, you know, all of the time of possession, all the things that help an offense when you have a great defense, and they could give him the MVP. Now, you're right, Jaden Daniels will have more of the combo yards in terms of rushing and also passing.
Which they gave Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson have won MVPs off that sort of combo. Lamar Jackson's not throwing for a ton of yards.
Yep.
And he won his MVPs. I think his first one, he threw for 3,200 yards and walked away with the MVP.
I know, but he's basically had to be almost historic in like his rushing ability.
Yeah, I mean, the funny thing is Jaden Daniels, if he really wanted to, could run like that. Not quite that fast, but he's a great runner. I don't know. I don't see... It could be Josh... First of all, Josh Allen did not have a lot of touchdowns last year and he won the MVP. I just think that, like, is Jordan Love... If you compare him to Aaron Rodgers, I do not see him statistically being the same thing. He hasn't been so far in his career. Aaron Rodgers pretty much revved it up to 100 almost immediately. I'm not saying he's not as good a quarterback. I'll say it. Like, is he Aaron Rodgers? Does he have to be? You said there's pressure on him.
I do think there is pressure.
The team is built to win with Jordan Love without him having to be this kind of gunslinger.
I don't know. I feel like he's always looking downfield. I think the problem has been that his receiver room either is not good enough or has not been healthy enough. They just gave Christian Watson some money too, right? So a little bit of a commitment there. But it looks like it's going to be Reed and Matthew Golden are going to be his main targets, and they're tight end.
Yeah, watch tonight. We'll see if they're conservative or not. Because say Jaden Daniels does have a good game and they get in a shootout, I don't think LaFleur wants to go that way. I really think he wants to pound it on the ground. Then he wants Micah Parsons to unleash him, Quay Walker and Edgerrin Cooper. I think it's a defense. I think that is the story of maybe the whole NFL week one was Green Bay's defense. I do not think it's about Jordan Love.
EJ, want to put the poll up? More likely to win an MVP, Jordan Love, Jaden Daniels. Let's go to the phones. Phil is in Pennsylvania. Phil, good morning. How are you feeling about your birds?
I'm feeling great about the Birds. They just need a little bit of time to recoup. But I just want to call and offer Perloff a chance to drive to Texas with me.
Oh, really? Wow. Car, I get a chance to drive to Texas with you?
Well, considering I got a really large trunk, you can drive, sit in the trunk the entire way. Or if you need some fresh air, I'll just tie you to the roof rack. Because, you know, a comfortable seat to Texas is people who actually pay their debts.
Wait, what do I owe you? Oh, because I owe you tickets to a game?
You never did the jersey.
Can I just defend us for a second? We just never ran into Randall Cunningham. We just never saw him.
I know, but Wembanyama thing has been 2-3 years. I mean, I would not be shocked if the big friendly bet, you know, he come up with something like a point spread or something like that to, you know, try to get out of it. So
that,
I mean,
tight Rams shirt
doesn't exactly have the best track record.
Okay, so
by the way,
yes,
Phil. By the way, I never agreed to buy you those tickets. you tried to force that one in on me.
Nothing about tickets. It was about the jersey getting it signed, which I could say that was tough. That was still 2 years.
We feel bad about that.
Well, we never saw Randall Cunningham. I'm going to defend us here. We went to Vegas for the Super Bowl, but we didn't see Randall.
Yeah, we were looking for him.
I know. It's fine. I'm just jacking with you guys. I just love Phil, play around with you guys.
What do you drive, Phil? Like, let's talk about this trip we're about to take. What kind of car?
I think it's going to be like a small SUV.
Okay.
All right. Wait. Perloff might be back in.
Small SUV, I could do that.
The Wembanyama thing is still on the table, guys. Ugh. It was just that there were some health concerns with Greg Popovich, and we couldn't do it for a while, but it's back on the table. It's happening.
I want to see Perloff in the smart car.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.